One of the other elements of this kind of introduction, this pattern that is oftentimes used in these letters is you identify the person who's writing and you identify the people to whom you're writing. And it's more than just, you know, from name to another name. But you elaborate on that or embellish that. So St. Paul, an apostle, and so forth. And it's very customary then to say the person who's writing and then say some things about him, to say the name of the person to whom you're writing and then say some things about him, to say some positive things. And what's missing in this letter is any sort of positive things about the Galatians, you know, to the church in Galatia, which has known Jesus Christ or something like that. Well, there's no description of Galatia. There's no positive characteristics given to the Galatians. And so St. Paul breaks what would be the expected trend in this kind of a letter, since not only does he not say anything positive or anything affirming about the church in Galatia, but then we get to verse 6 and we see what he does say. He jumps in right away, not wasting any time. I am amazed that you are so quickly forsaking the one who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Now, that is an amazing statement to start with. He's not only not saying something positive, but he is very quickly just jumping right in to criticize the people right away. Barely has he finished the introduction, and all of a sudden a rebuke is given to the people of Galatia. There's a sense in this letter then of urgency, that St. Paul is particularly concerned about the Galatians, and he's not going to waste any time getting right to the heart of the matter. So there's an urgency, a sense that the people in Galatia are teetering on the edge of a cliff, or that they that they're in dire straits or in serious need. So he's not going to be gentle. He's not going to be kind or patient in dealing with this. He's confronting the issue that is there, the challenge that is there, head on and without any delay. What he accuses them of, or it's not so much, I suppose, an accusation, but just that he stands in wonder and awe, that he is amazed, is that the people in Galatia are forsaking the grace that they have received from Jesus Christ to go over to a different gospel. But there is no other gospel, verse 7. But there are some who are disturbing you in which to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, one of the things that that we'll see is, and this is part of what we can understand as part of this conflict with the agitators or the Judaizers, is that most likely there were people who had come to Galatia and then they wanted to share with them more things about Judaism. St. Paul comes along and he preaches Jesus Christ and they come to believe. And one of the things the Judaizers did is they would follow after Paul, or they would bring the message of Jewish Christianity or the Old Testament laws of Judaism to these people who had come to believe in Christ. In other words, St. Paul had told you about this person, Jesus Christ, but let me tell you a little more about him. He comes out of this Jewish tradition. He was a faithful Jew. He practiced the Mosaic Law. And let me tell you more about the Mosaic Law. And so now, all of a sudden, some of the people who had come to believe in the message of salvation in Christ had then gotten this additional information, and now all of a sudden were concerned or worried or anxious about practicing all the requirements of the Jewish law. And now all of a sudden, St. Paul didn't tell us about these dietary laws, about unclean animals, about circumcision, about all of these other requirements, the fasts and the feast days and so forth in the Old Testament, which now all of a sudden they're worried that if they don't observe, then they won't be practicing the true religion. And so there's this sense of the people who are disturbing them, people who are wishing to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, for St. Paul, and he is extraordinarily clear about this, he says this effort to compromise what he has taught, the gospel he has preached, by reintroducing to these people who have never known the Mosaic Law, by introducing the Mosaic Law, he considers this to be a perversion of the gospel of Christ. It's interesting that the people who do this may not have such evil intent at heart. In other words, they might be doing what they're doing because they very sincerely believe in the Mosaic Law, in the Torah, in the Old Testament, and it's a part of Jewish Christians' practice and understanding. In other words, they practice Old Testament laws and come to believe in Christ as the Messiah, and it's all very consistent for them. But when these people then go on and then take this message of the Old Testament observance of the law and then bring this to Gentile Christians who have come to believe, of course they think that they're doing a good thing, that they're sharing these this information. But for St. Paul, he really considers this to be a grave offense. This is a perversion of a gospel, and we'll talk about this in a moment, about the nature of St. Paul's gospel that he preaches. It's interesting when he talks about this gospel, he says there is no other gospel, meaning there is only one gospel. Now, if I were to ask you how many gospels you thought that there were, well, if you were to answer four, I would, you know, no one would complain about that, because we're so used to the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But remember, those are just the gospel according to, meaning as recounted by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For St. Paul, he considers there to be only one gospel. And if we think back to when these letters were written, the Gospels were written down several years after St. Paul's epistles. In other words, the epistles St. Paul wrote came before the actual writing of the Gospels. So when he speaks about the Gospel, he's not talking about the text of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Those would not have been written down at this point. Instead, when he speaks about the Gospel, he's talking about the good news. He's talking about this message of salvation, the gift that is given to us in the preaching and the example, the witness of Jesus Christ. So that is the good news, the Gospel. And for St. Paul, there is only one. You cannot have two Gospels, two different messages of salvation, two different ways by which we are saved. For him, there is only one way of being saved. There's only one gospel. And so for the people to accept any other message other than the gospel, as St. Paul preached it, for St. Paul, that is a perversion that is disturbing the people. So he goes on to make this point even stronger, verse 8. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, even if an angel should preach to you a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let that one be accursed. And then he goes further, verse 9, as we have said before, and now I say again, if anyone preaches to you a gospel other than the one that you received, let that one be accursed. Now, there's no gentle compromise on St. Paul's part. He is being absolutely clear about the integrity of the gospel, which he wants to fight for vigorously. Verse 10, am I now currying favor with human beings or with God? And we're back to this theme of a message of human origin or trying to please men. And St. Paul's not interested in that at all. He said it before and he will continue to emphasize that what he's doing for one reason, and that is because God has called him. He wants to preach with integrity this gospel as he has received it from God himself. So he's not currying favor with men. He's not seeking to please people. If he were still trying to please people, then he says, I would not be a slave of Christ. Meaning that for St. Paul, he has to choose between one or the other. He says, if you're going to serve Christ, then serve him. But if instead what you want to do is preach a gospel or act in such a way so as to please other people, then you're not serving Christ. You're either serving mankind or you're serving God. Very, very sharp distinction. So St. Paul wants to make it utterly clear as he's confronting the Galatians very specifically on their acceptance of another message of salvation, how it's completely opposed to the message St. Paul preached. Verse 11. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel preached to me is not of human origin. Again, this emphasis on the divine origin, not the human origin, of the gospel that St. Paul preaches. Verse 12, for I did not receive it from a human being, nor was I taught it, but it came through revelation of Jesus Christ. And he's going to talk now for a moment about this revelation, that he considers this gospel to be a revelation, a gift that was given to him. He talks about and then the way in which he received this gospel. Verse 13, for you heard of my former way of life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And verse 14, progressed in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my race, since I was even more a zealot for my ancestral traditions. Verse 13 and 14, St. Paul is making it clear, as I think a lot of us know already that St. Paul was someone who did observe the Mosaic Law. He observed the Jewish traditions completely faithfully. He was someone who was very well versed in the Torah, and so he completely understands the requirements of the Jewish law. He's someone who practiced them faithfully. But for St. Paul, verse 15, when he talks about this moment of his conversion, this was a real change for him. He says, "But when God, who from my mother's womb had set me apart and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him to the Gentiles," and so forth. So he's now talking about this moment at which Jesus Christ was revealed to him. And for St. Paul, Jesus Christ, the revelation of Christ did not come through the law, through his Mosaic practice of the law, through the Torah, but it came as a grace. It came to him as a grace from God, that God had chosen St. Paul from the beginning, that from his mother's womb. So even though St. Paul didn't know Christ, God had chosen St. Paul. St. Paul just didn't know it yet. But there was that moment at which God revealed himself to St. Paul and made it clear to him what he would be called to do. He was called by grace, and then received that revelation of the Son, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he was chosen to do perhaps one of the most surprising things of all, not to preach the gospel to Jews or to speak about the Messiah to his own people, but instead to go to foreigners, to preach to the Gentiles, that he might proclaim to the Gentiles.